Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? It is about that time. Yes, you are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. It is September 24th, 2019. As we roll along here on this week's Current Sports. And, of course, it's Tuesday. And you guys know each and every Tuesday here on Current Sports, that means it is Michigan State football head coach Mark D'Antonio presser day. As Coach D'Antonio approaches the podium every Tuesday morning around 11:30 a.m. inside of the Tom and Loopy Izzo Media Center, the North End Zone, to address what occurred during Michigan State's last football game. Of course, Michigan State football getting that win on the road in Evanston, Illinois, against the Northwestern Wildcats on Saturday. It was D'Antonio's 110th win. That's a record win that makes him now the winningest head coach in Michigan State football program history. And now the Spartans will look ahead to homecoming weekend, as Michigan State will play host to Indiana this Saturday at 3 p.m. So Coach D'Antonio puts a bow on the win over the Wildcats and now looks ahead to this weekend's matchup against the Hoosiers. You'll get a chance to hear just a bit of what Coach D'Antonio had to say this morning. Also, I want to note that today is like the official start of the Michigan State men's basketball season, at least for us media members. As Tom Izzo, head coach of the Michigan State men's hoop squad, he will be speaking to the media either after or before practice. Not sure when practice is for MSU today, but he'll be speaking to the media today at 2:30. All right, so later on today, keep it locked to our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News, as well as our website at WKAR.org, as I will have a soundbite from Tom Izzo's first media availability of the 2019-2020 campaign. Time is flying, folks. I can't believe that college basketball is right around the corner. Crazy, crazy stuff. All right, so I want to make note of that. And as promised today, we will also talk a little NFL, and we'll talk about the Detroit Lions, who are still undefeated right now, getting a win over the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday. Did not get a chance to touch on the Lions yesterday because, of course, the hour was dominated by college football talk as we, of course, dissected the Michigan State football win over Northwestern and discussed how pitiful Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines looked against the Wisconsin Badgers on Saturday. So we'll talk some Lions today, and it's a bittersweet Tuesday, September 24th, 2019, here on the show, because this is officially the final day of Connor being a part of the three-man weave, our three-man engineering team here at Current Sports. That, of course, includes Jack Kerwin, Alec Rio, and Connor Mathis himself. But today is the final day for Connor because he's got to put his big boy pants on now and enter the world of sports reporting as a professional. That's pretty exciting stuff. And Connor, you actually start your first day. You'll be working out in Owosso. Your first day is tomorrow.
Yep.
So this is your final show. How's it feel, man?
Bittersweet.
Definitely bittersweet. Now, this is certainly not, you know, goodbye. It's see you later, because I got a strong, strong feeling that we'll be having you on the show on a frequent basis from here on out still. But this is your last official time as an engineer here on the show. So
yep.
It's a different feeling. So Connor will say goodbye to you all in an official capacity on the back end of the show. All right. So stay tuned for that. All right, folks. So a lot to get to. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News. Watch the live stream there and comment below that live stream if you want to weigh in that way. You can also tweet us, tweet the show at WKAR News, and tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Start here, folks, and give you an update concerning the man in the backfield for the Michigan State football team, Elijah Collins, running back for the Spartans. He rode off the field on a utility cart for an x-ray in the fourth quarter of Michigan State's 31-10 win at Northwestern on Saturday. Head coach Mark D'Antonio, on his Sunday night teleconference, he noted that the redshirt freshman running back had an x-ray but did not specify on what. Collins did return to the field still in uniform and pads shortly after. Coach D said, quote, "He was back by the end of the game. We took him out for precautionary reasons just to get an x-ray, but he's fine," end quote. So good news there. Indiana football coach Tom Allen confirmed yesterday that senior left tackle Coy Kronk, a captain and fourth-year starter on the line, is out for the year after injuring his ankle in last weekend's win over UConn. He will have surgery this week. This is what Allen had to say, quote, "Not career-ending, so he'll bounce back, but just a tough break for him. Love that guy, just everything he brings to our program and has brought to our program," end quote. Now, that forces another adjustment on the part of a Hoosier offense that has already been without redshirt freshman quarterback Michael Penix Jr. for the last two games with an undisclosed injury. And for the third week in a row, Penix will be a game-time decision, though it appears he is making progress. Allen said the lefty signal caller, who has dressed but has not thrown passes in pregame warmups, he should be available to practice and throw ahead of IU's road game against Spartans this weekend. So Penix is a game-time decision. Congratulations to the Michigan State women's golf team, which got its first tournament win of the season yesterday, capturing the Mary Fossum Invitational title in convincing fashion at Forest Acres West. The Spartans shot an 8 over par 296 yesterday and won the tournament at 20 over par 884, which was 23 shots better than second place Western Kentucky. 23 shots better. That's how you want to shoot on your home course, right? All right, to the Michigan State women's, men's soccer program, as the Michigan State men's soccer team will conclude its two-game homestand tonight at 7 p.m. at DeMartin Stadium, taking on Notre Dame. The game will be televised on Fox Sports 1. The Spartans are 0-4-2 so far this season and will play two of their next three games at home. Notre Dame will be the second-ranked team that MSU has faced this season, losing to then-number 13 Washington 1-0 at home on September 6th. Michigan State has faced several injuries earlier this season, with all Big Ten performers Giuseppe Baroni and Patrick Nielsen still out of the lineup. Baroni has played 45 minutes this season, while Nielsen is looking for his first action here in 2019. All right, not sure if you saw this news coming out of the world of college basketball, but the NCAA's enforcement staff has charged the University of Kansas with lack of institutional control.
Oh,
yeah. And Jayhawks basketball coach Bill Self with head coach responsibility violations. Those are among the most serious charges levied against Kansas and Self in an NCAA notice of allegations the university received yesterday. The Jayhawks are charged with 5 level 1 violations, the most serious under NCAA rules, as well as 2 level 2 violations related to the school's football program under former coach David Beattie. So this is not just centered solely on Kansas basketball. But Connor, I haven't dove real deeply into that story. Have they been specific as to what those violations consist of, or we don't know that information just yet?
I haven't seen anything that was that gave specifics as to what the violations were, only that they were, you know, bad. And okay, it's not looking good for Self. They said they were saying on ESPN that, you know, the allegations are looking at a minimum 1 year suspension for the coach and probably some more.
You said a minimum?
Minimum 1 year suspension.
Wow, okay. Well,
but
yeah,
they haven't said what they exactly are yet, so.
Well, they said 5 level 1 violations, so level 1, that just sounds bad. So, yeah, if the details aren't out already, we do know, as Connor just said, they seem to be pretty serious. All right, the Detroit Red Wings were in action in the NHL preseason yesterday. They fell to the New York Islanders 3-2. And the Detroit Tigers are in action today at 6:40 p.m. They will start a set against the Minnesota Twins at Comerica Park. And on Monday Night Football, I don't know anybody who wasted their time watching that game last night. But I'm pretty sure there was one man watching. I'll explain who that man is in just a moment. Trust me, you don't want to miss this story. But after taking a 28-3 lead into halftime, yeah, it was 28-3 at the half, the visiting Chicago Bears withstood a late Washington Redskins comeback bid to post a 31-15 yeah, victory on Monday Night Football. The Bears are now 2-1 through 3 weeks, while the Redskins fall to 0-3 and 0-2 at FedEx Field. Just really, really bad.
Are you ready for next Monday's Monday Night Matchup, though?
What is it?
The Steelers, Bengals, okay. The tank for Fromm Bowl there.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
So, you know,
yeah,
we all know
be.
The Dolphins are getting to us. So.
Right.
No problem going for second. Even though if the Steelers finish second worst, that pick goes to the Dolphins. So right. I'm hoping they keep losing. So go Bengals.
Okay, I got a question for you, Connor. Do you know what a parlay bet is?
Yeah.
You know what parlay mm-hmm. is? It's like you pick a certain amount of games, and in order to get a payout, you have to be right on those bets. So check this. Scott Pohl, our very own Scott Pohl, he came in and said, Al, have you heard about this story? I said, no. What are you talking about, Scott? He said, Al. He asked me the same question. Do you know what a parlay bet is? I said, I kind of do, but I kind of don't. He explains that to me. Then he says, check this. Somebody put a bet on a 20-team parlay. 20-team parlay, Connor. And he was correct on 19 of those picks. Do you know what game he got wrong? Last night's.
Never bet on Washington. They just will disappoint
night.
You.
Last night's Monday Night Football game, he got that game wrong. He chose the Redskins and not the Bears. But for a little bit
there, it looked like the Skins were going to blow it. We're gonna come back and you know, beat the Bears because Mitch Trubisky decided to be Mitch Trubisky again,
yeah.
And then you had, you know, the Washington offense started getting clicking. So I mean,
but check this. This that ain't even the best part of the story. All right, 19 picks. Right, he got one wrong. It was last night's game. You know how much he put on the line in this game? 89 cents. 89 cents on this parlay, I should say, this 20-team parlay. If Washington would have won, his payout would have been $499,000. $500,000. 20-team parlay, 89 cents. He was one win away from that. That's just insane. Oh, how cruel this thing called life can be sometimes.
The moral of the story is do not bet on Washington. Don't bet on them.
That's a moral story as well. Yeah, the Redskins are just really, really bad. All right. That does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. That's just a mind-blowing story. We've got the Coach D'Antonio presser headed your way. Again, we're going to play a snippet of that. Also, we'll talk some Detroit Lions as the Lions are undefeated. But they play the Kansas City Chiefs this weekend. But still, hey, enjoy it. I said that the Lions are going to lose to the Eagles, and look what happened. I guess it's anything can happen. But still, it's Patrick Mahomes. We'll talk some Lions. Then, of course, we'll have a farewell from our very own Connor Mathis, his final day behind the glass. All right, here we go. All right, a little Outkast as we roll into this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. And before we play for you the Mark D'Antonio press conference, again, multiple ways in which you can weigh into the show. Simply go to Facebook.com/WKAR News and comment below the live stream there. Many of you already doing that. A few of you wishing Connor well. Ben says, good luck, Connor. Best of luck in the future. Mike says, congrats, Connor. Thanks for making Current Sports and Al Martin sound great. Yeah, I can't do what I do without these guys, man. And again, it's not goodbye, it's see you later. Because, you know, seeing that you're taking a job out in Owosso, Connor, you know, you still be in the area. So why not have you on from time to time to talk some sports? So, and do you just want to talk about the position right now real quick? I mean, what position is it? Who will you be employed by, my man?
I'm going to be working for the Argus Press out in Owosso. It's a newspaper doing primarily high school sports. So the, Langsburg, Owosso, Perry, those schools in that area, Corona, all that. A lot of high school football stuff pretty soon. I mean, we're already like about halfway through that season.
Which is crazy.
Which is, yeah, ridiculous. But, right. A lot of high school stuff. But I also... we'll have the ability to get press passes to other games. So my idea now is to go and do high school, keep doing the high school stuff and see if I can get a press pass for the Michigan State game. Cause I haven't been down to Ann Arbor to cover anything, obviously. And I haven't even been in the stadium, period.
Man, who was that covered a game 2 years ago with me? That was before me. That wasn't Jet. Were you guys even here?
No. I didn't go down to Ann Arbor, but I was up here in Lansing covering the
right,
one last year.
You were here with me last year.
Yeah, I was in the boot in the press box.
I'm talking about 2 years ago with the rainstorm and everything. That was probably Isaac then. Isaac was still here, I believe, because I don't remember. Yeah, Jack and Alec weren't there, and you weren't there. So, yeah, that was probably Isaac. So, yeah, but that's awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know, with you being here in the area, you'll get a chance. I mean, you're covering basically local sports around here, and it's still the greater Lansing area. So that's awesome stuff. Langsburg, you know, I used to go out there all the time and shoot games when I was working at Channel 6 and, you know, shooting stuff for the fifth quarter and whatnot. Those towns are very, very into high school sports. It's a rich, I've always said about the Lansing and Greater Lansing area. I've never seen an area, and I haven't been down south. I'm sure it's 10 times crazier, but this area is so rich when it comes to high school sporting culture. So I'm sure you'll do a great job, man. That's awesome stuff. And who knows, hopefully one of those. Will you be covering Pomona, Westphalia? Is that out of your?
I don't think so. That's a little further out of my.
Okay. Gotcha.
Area,
yeah.
But I mean, if they come into the lane, that little corridor, Owosso corridor, kind of.
Right, right. Because I'm trying to think. I mean, I'm trying to think of any teams who have like a really good shot at possibly making it to Ford Field.
you know, for a state championship bid, and PW is always down there. So, but that's awesome stuff. Congratulations, Connor. He'll have more words for you all beautiful people later on this hour. All right? Okay. Moving along here, you guys know it is Tuesday, and each and every Tuesday here on Current Sports, we roll in a portion of the Mark D'Antonio press conference. A few noteworthy things, which I will have for you all after you listen to a bit of this press conference from Mark D'Antonio this morning. But he was in a pretty good mood, of course. You know, why wouldn't he be after just pouncing on Northwestern the way his team did on Saturday? And, you know, looking forward to homecoming now, the homecoming game against Indiana. Michigan State is favored in that game. The last time I checked the line, it was around like about 14. It's probably moved since the last time I checked, and that was like yesterday afternoon. So, but Mark D'Antonio, here's a bit of what he had to say this morning, starting with the confidence of kicker Matt Coughlin, who had a rough outing against Arizona State, that's to say the least. He was able to see, you know, a ball go through the uprights on Saturday. And again, it was just a great performance all around for the Spartans. So he was asked, though, starting off here for this portion of the Mark D'Antonio press conference from this morning, he was asked about the confidence of Matt Coughlin. We'll start there.
Well, you know, I'm concerned that he missed a field goal, but I'm confident in Matt. You know, he was the first team all Big Ten kicker last year, and there's a reason he was that. He's been very good throughout summer camp, very good. Probably missed two field goals the whole camp. But you get out there, you know, the wind was moving a little bit, and you get out there and you got to make them during games. But he has his confidence, so if he's confident, I'm confident, and he's a confident player.
Mark, when you mentioned about the Indiana quarterback situation with Ramsey and Penix, I guess from a defensive side, how much does having played Ramsey the last couple of years allow you to maybe back off that and focus more on what Penix does different? Or do you have to fully prepare for both?
I think you got to take both into consideration. I know Penix is coming off of an injury and he hasn't played, and maybe it's a shoulder injury or an arm injury. So got to take that into consideration with everything. But I also think Peyton Ramsey has done a great job. He's a gamer. He knows where to go with the ball. He gives you scramble ability. He understands the defenses he's reading. Penix is a very athletic guy. We haven't experienced him as much, so we don't really know. But we've seen him play and make plays, and he can take off with it.
Mark, a couple quick things on special teams. Did Evan Morris not kick off because of the four-game limit? Are you thinking of that? And with the problems Cody had on the punt returns, how is it now between him and Sowards?
The first question is we kicked off Cole Haan because we felt like at this point in time he was the best guy. But it's sort of right now it's a constant competition. And no, the answer was no. It's not because of the four-game thing yet. And then the second question is with, you know, Cody had a sleeve on. I think that ball got caught on the sleeve. He did muff him, so we'll research that. We're going to look at that this week and see, make a game-time decision on that. But Sowers did a nice job when he was in there, and he's been very steady throughout his time here as a punt returner in terms of receiving the ball. And my focus on our punt return team has always been for Mike, because I'm a defensive coach. I'm just going to say what it is. Has always been the main focus is to get the ball back. So you better be able to receive that ball. You better be able to have no fakes, and you better not have any penalties that set you back even further. And from a special teams perspective, we need to do a better job overall. And that's our message to our football team and to our coaches. And I truly believe if you're not coaching it, you're letting it happen. So we will coach that extremely hard this week.
Mark, right here, I had a couple small things really quick. Are Penix and Ramsey different enough that you'll have two different guys mimicking them in practice this week, or are they similar enough, I guess, where you can...
They're different enough that you've got to put them when you break them down, you're saying, okay, he's quarterback, and here's the place he's quarterback, and here's the place he's quarterback, and then look at them, I think, a little bit differently. With that being said, I think the coordinator is the same. He's calling the plays, and so he has things maybe he likes a little bit more with one or the other, but I think there is some similarities. So, you know, not to be coach speak, but I think it's 50-50 on your question.
And then I was also going to ask, you mentioned Joe Bocci had the highest production points that you had ever seen. Do you have sort of a short list of the other high scores, I guess, or that he was kind of
– No, I think that all those guys, all those Mike linebackers, because that's the productive – you've got to be productive at that position because you're in so much of the – right in the heat of it. But, you know, Greg Jones certainly has had him, Max Bulla, Riley Bulla. Those have been, you know, across the scope of things, you know, those have been the majority of our Mikes throughout our time here. And all of them have had high production games, but never that high. I can't think of one getting into the 40s, but they've been in the 30s, and they've been very productive players. You know, as we go back, and this production system really is the same production system we had when I came here in 1995 with Nick Saban. And so it remains the same. And so we've got a lot of guys. You know, if a guy gets 200 points for the season, he's an extremely productive player. So that ought to give you an indication of the monstrous game that he had.
And I've actually got a real question for you, I guess. The tempo on offense, I want to say that first drive against Northwestern was probably the fastest I'd seen you guys get to the line this year, maybe. It felt like it at least. I'm just curious, four games in, what your evaluation is of how the tempo's being used. And I guess as a defensive coach, I know that kind of can conflict with time of possession and things like that. I'm just curious how it's worked out and how you see it moving forward here.
Yeah, our tempo can be as fast as we want it to be. I think that we have different modes just like everybody else does right now. But we can also slow it down. So I don't know if I really don't want to give you good answers. So I don't hopefully I'm correct. Okay, but I do see us using tempo, and we've done a nice job with it really pretty much throughout, I think, the four games.
Mark, I'm curious, usage of Julian Barnett and his ability, what is it that's maybe holding him back from getting more opportunities out there?
Pink eye.
No way.
Yeah. Okay. And he's had serious eye infection for about 2 weeks, and there's been a number of days where he hasn't even been able to practice. So he finally got it cleared up. He missed one practice this past week. He missed Tuesday. And he was having a very difficult time getting rid of it. And so that's basically the reason. I mean, but, you know, he's okay now. He's back and he should be playing more because I think he does have ability. And as I said, I think we have some very good young players. And hopefully we're going to see our guys, you know, play more.
You also have a couple of, you know, more than a couple of experienced guys. I was just wondering if there was a moment after the Arizona State loss, maybe during the week of practice, when some of those veterans, you kind of noticed them. They'd been through it before, losing a tough game and then having to bounce back because it looked like they were.
You know, I think we did have that, you know, and I think that we've got experienced guys, as you just said, and I think that helps us be able to refocus and reset. And, you know, as I said before, I'm coming here, and there's going to be friction points in every season where you got to go this way or that way a little bit. You've got to be able to hit the reset button as players, as coaches, and be able to recollect yourself and move to the next challenge. Because nobody's going to feel sorry for you. They're not going to wait. They're going to prepare, and everybody has a plan. This is an extremely well coached conference. It really is. When you go across and you look at the teams, you know, you see different concepts, you see different things. Nuances that every football team brings in, and it's competitive. And somebody is going to rise up every week and beat somebody else, and that's really the way it is across the country right now. And you can look at it and see that every single week.
Pink eye contagious?
Was it?
Isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I'm wondering if, because it's a big week for him, big day for him, what your relationship is with Lorenzo White. I know he's been hanging around here more recently than he had in some years. What's your feeling about him as a Spark?
Oh, Lorenzo's been around a lot over the course of time. I've known him for a long time, knew him when I was here the first time around, got to meet him and know him a little bit. Great Spartan, very supportive. Talked to our football team, I believe it was last week or maybe the week before. I was the week before that Friday. Being inducted in the College Football Hall of Fame is a tremendous honor, and I will be there for that. He's a Spartan. And, you know, I remember stories about Coach Perlis would say, run that same play again and put it right in front of me, and he'd run the ball, running 40 times, you know, so toss, sweep, and that type of thing. But I think he's one of the great Spartans of all time.
Mark, Matt Seibert's story is a pretty cool one. Comes here from Buffalo as a walk-on, earns a scholarship. What did you see from him that allowed him to earn that scholarship in the spring?
You know, he first of all came here and played in 17 a little bit as a tight end. I said this, I think, on Sunday night. And then this past year he moved to defensive end. He's got that type of personality a little bit, you know, sort of a toughness-type personality. Wants to collision people. And then he didn't get to play as much. He played a little bit, but not as much. And then he transitioned back to tight end in the spring. Did a nice job in the spring, and it felt like that warranted that scholarship in the spring. And then I just leave it up in the air and say, okay, hey, we got a certain number of scholarships. You got to work for them and see what happens. But he played 47 plays this last week, had big moments. I think he had four catches, I believe, two touchdowns. And he's going to give you everything he's got. And I just thought that was warranted, but excited for him. Brings a certain amount of excitement to the game, and he'll continue to play, I believe.
Mark, kind of just the housekeeping stuff. I noticed that no AJ, no Cole. Are they still in the same holding pattern right now?
Yeah, still in the same holding pattern. I think that AJ will get back. Not sure about Cole. We'll see. And I know he's working extremely hard at it. It's been very disappointing for him. And for our football team, because he's one of our leaders and he's been a starter here. His overall health is our main concern.
And as kind of a secondary thing, the running back situation right now, you mentioned Eli, Ant Williams getting in as the three back right now. Has he kind of moved up the pecking order a little bit, or what have you seen from him to kind of get into that mix and get carries?
You know, I think everybody brings something different to our offense a little bit. So we've got three or four guys. We actually have four guys that have played a little bit or played. He's probably played the least. But he gives you a little bit something different. He's a little bit like Jeremy Langford. Well, that's what we've seen. And so we give him an opportunity and see how it all shakes out. But it remains to be seen how he's going to do. And same with the others. But we're going to keep pushing it.
All right, Mark D'Antonio, a bit of what he had to say during this morning's press conference at Spartan Stadium. A few takeaways from that presser that you just heard. Michael Penix Jr., you heard in our headliners that he is listed still as questionable as far as that starting quarterback position goes for Indiana. We've seen Peyton Ramsey as the starter for the last 2 weeks. So, you know, you heard him asked about how you prepare for that, the possibility that we will see Penix or the possibility that we will see Peyton Ramsey out there like we've seen for the last 2 weeks, and you just got to go with the flow. He does believe that there are some similarities between the two quarterbacks. So that will be interesting to see how Michigan State prepares throughout the week for that. Julian Barnett, the freshman wide receiver, also listed as a corner, won the Michigan State football roster. The freshie has pink eye. He's got pink eye. He's had it for the last 2 weeks. That is why he has been out. And yes, Fred Heumann, pink eye is contagious. And Coach D says he finally got it cleared up, but he got it from his roommate. And as you just heard, his roommate is freshman running back Anthony Williams. That is why we have not seen Anthony Williams, folks. So the roommates, they both got pink eye. That's just all bad. So hopefully they are good to go as the week rolls along here. And also Cole Chewins and A.J. Okuri, the two offensive linemen who are out for Michigan State. Chewins with that back injury. Okuri with that right foot / ankle injury. They are still in the quote-unquote holding pattern, basically means questionable. You know, if they feel ready to go, if the doctors clear them, we will see them possibly this weekend. But if not, they're going to be still listed as out. And Cody White, as returner, one of the returners for Michigan State, he had some problems against Northwestern on Saturday. Coach D'Antonio noting that he will be a game time decision when it comes to returning kicks, and Coach D'Antonio very adamant that that will be a focus for Michigan State football throughout this week of practice when it comes to special teams, saying, quote, we need to do a better job overall when it comes to special teams. Cole Hahn, as you heard Coach D also note, Cole Hahn is the best guy when it comes to returning kickoffs. So he'll still be that guy. And I thought it was a cool question about, you know, Lorenzo White. You know, Low White, one of the greats in Michigan State football history. So good that he will be inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame, I believe, in December. Don't quote me on that, though. If I remember correctly off the top of my dome, I believe that induction ceremony will take place the beginning of December. Could be wrong. Don't let me Google that during our first break. But Low White will be inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame, and Coach D'Antonio will be making that trip. Very cool stuff there. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll talk some NFL, and we'll dive into a bit of Detroit Lions talk, recapping what happened on Sunday with the Lions, who are still undefeated. Good win against Philly. We'll talk Lions and more. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We now talk some Detroit Lions football as the Lions were able to move to 2-0-1. Of course, that one comes from that tie against the Arizona Cardinals to start the NFL season. The Lions, though, getting a win against the Philadelphia Eagles on the road, 27-24, your final. The Eagles moving to 1-2 on the season. And the question I have for our listeners out there is just how much are you buying the Lions right now? I know it's early. It is incredibly early on in the season to start having these hot takes and coming to hard conclusions on how an NFL team is going to perform just based on 3 weeks into the NFL season. But if you are a Detroit Lions fan, in my opinion, you have to feel pretty good right now. I mean, your team has not lost a game. That tie, you really should be 3-0. You really should be 3-0 right now. And considering what's ahead for the Lions, I mean, you could not have asked other than winning that first game. You have to be pleased with the start of this year. Because looking at the schedule from here on out, you play Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs this weekend. That's not looking too good. I'm going to have to look up what the line is on that game right now. Then you have to go on the road to play Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. And say what you will about the Packers, I'm not sure how many people are buying the Packers right now. But they have a pretty solid defense from what I've seen so far this year. And, you know, you always are going to be a great team if you've got Aaron behind center. It's the Green Bay Packers. That's not going to be an easy game. Then you take on Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings, who got a win this past weekend. Then you can kind of breathe a bit on October 27th against the New York Giants. But to be sitting where you are right now, you've got to feel good. But for me, it's the Lions. And I just don't trust this football team. I never will. I never will until I see for the first time since the early 90s a playoff win. I won't buy this team, and I think it will always be fool's gold. How did Detroit win against Philly? Well, they were able to really take advantage of some miscues by the Philadelphia Eagles. And how about this? The biggest to me was probably holding Philadelphia's defense to zero sacks. That's odd, isn't it? Because normally we see Matthew Stafford on any given Sunday running for his life and eating grass for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But that didn't happen. That didn't happen on Sunday. They also forced two turnovers. And it's so weird because the Lions were outgained in total yards, 373 to 287. Also outgained in yards per play, 5.4 to Philly's 4.8. Philly's 5.4 to the Lions 4.8. And also time of possession. The Eagles had the football for a few minutes more than the Lions, 32 minutes and 18 seconds. For Philly, 27 minutes and 42 seconds for the Lions. But scored 6 points. Now, I would ideally like to see not two field goals there. I would like to see the Lions convert touchdowns on those turnovers. But nonetheless, they did get points off of those turnovers, and they won by three. So, yeah, those 6 points proved to be very valuable against the Philadelphia Eagles. So, that's 13 points. And no turnovers from Matthew Stafford, who was 18 of 31, 201 yards, had a touchdown, which led to the upset win. Now, we do have to address the elephant in the room. And again, this is why it's so hard to read the Detroit Lions right now, because the Lions facing this Eagles team, the Eagles are beaten up. All right, they've got injuries left and right on offense. I mean, Carson Wentz, he was playing without his top two receivers in that game, completing 19 of 36 passes for 259 yards. So I don't know how much you can draw on that. I don't know. But I will say it was a great way to close out the game, despite the fact that the Lions special teams, they may have a problem there, because that final possession – starting at midfield for the Lions, you know, after Malcolm Jenkins for the Eagles, the final position for the Eagles, which I'm going to get to in just a moment. For the Lions, when they were trying to punt it away, Malcolm Jenkins blocked a Matt Prater kick with 1:40 left to play. And a block in the back penalty really negated what would have been a huge return. Because when you saw that kick get blocked, you said to yourself, yep, we knew that, you know, water was leaking in the boat, and eventually that boat was going to go down, and this was the moment right here that it was going to go down. Very lucky that block in the back penalty took back that huge return. And how did things play out? You got to give credit to that Lions defense. You know, when they needed to make plays and stop the Philadelphia Eagles charge to possibly win that game, you know, we saw Tracy Walker. He broke up a pass to Zach Ertz on first down. Mac Hollins, he couldn't make a juggling catch over Mike Ford on second down. And that left the Eagles in third and 10. And after a short pass to Nelson Agholor, can I stop there real quick? Have you seen the viral social media video, Connor, of a man apparently, like, rescued some children from a burning building? And, you know, it was a collaborative effort with some other people, and they were like, you know, tossing these young children down from, I don't know, whatever story of the building. And this man was just catching the babies left and right to get them out of there. And he made in the midst of that heroic effort, he was being interviewed by the news, and he took a jab at Nelson Agholor. I don't know how many drops Nelson Agholor had.
Over the season or just in the game? Over the season, it's brutal.
Yeah, over the season, it's brutal. But against the Lions, I don't know how many drops he's had. But he's had a problem with catching the football, basically. Wide receiver for the Philadelphia Eagles. And this man, while being interviewed by the local news, in regards to catching the young baby, said, yeah, I was catching them all. We were catching them all, unlike Nelson Agholor. So that has gone viral. I believe Nelson Agholor actually addressed that soundbite on Twitter. I don't know what he said, but he gave him full
tickets to the next one for his family, really? And such. He offered him.
Oh,
but he
awesome.
Needs to find out who the guy is.
Okay, so Nelson Agholor being the big man there. I like that. But yeah.
I mean, what is he going to do?
Exactly.
he's not really in a position to do anything about
right.
that.
Right. You can't do it. You can't. I mean, it's the dude saved lives. You know what I mean? You don't want to go back at the guy who saved lives and say, hey, man, I can't catch the football. You know, that would be wrong. So, great job by Nelson Agholor there for giving this guy some tickets. But anyway, on that last drive, you did see a short pass to Nelson Agholor when the Philadelphia Eagles had what, you know, like a few breaths of life left. And then Carson Wentz, he completed a big fourth down pass to Darren Sproles. That was down the right sideline. Sproles, though, was called for offensive pass interference, and it was, looking at that play again, he clearly shoved Tavon Wilson to get that football. But in real time, though, it just looked like Sproles just made a great catch, and uh-oh, the Lions were going to blow this whole thing. Thank goodness, though, that pass interference was called. It was the right call. And then, you know, the Eagles out of field goal range, they were backed up to their own 45. They threw a deep pass, Wentz did, on 4th and 15. Rashawn Melvin, great coverage on the rookie. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who dropped Wentz's pass inside the 10-yard line because it was great coverage. But on the replay, if you look at the replay, that hit J.J.'s hands. And he should have caught that football. There were multiple drop passes throughout that game, and you could see Carson Wentz was very frustrated after J.J. dropped that pass because, again, that was it. That was the game, and the Lions ran out the final 41 seconds on the clock. And I do believe that in sports, the way you close out games, no matter how ugly it may be, because let's be real here, that was an ugly finish that did lead to a Detroit Lions win. And in week one against Arizona, you know, and how that whole thing ended. Thank goodness the Lions just didn't lose that game. Facing some adversity, some late game adversity can pay off if you are in that situation in bigger games that have bigger implications when you talk about trying to make the postseason. But these little mistakes against better teams can prove to be fatal. And that is why I'm not fully buying in on the Detroit Lions. Heck, just the name alone, the Detroit Lions, I don't fully buy in. But the fact that, you know, we've seen these small mistakes happen in very key moments against better competition, those will result in losses. No doubt about it. But at the end of the day, you got to look at this as a glass half full right now. If you were to tell me that the Lions will be undefeated at this point in the year, I would have said you are crazy. I said here on Friday, I didn't dedicate much time on Friday's Current Sports to even talking about the Lions, closing out the show basically saying that, yeah, we'll recap a Lions loss on Monday's Current Sports. And lo and behold, they win. So it's a bit odd. What I'm seeing right now from this team, though, we're seeing some solid things. And I think overall, I'm pleased with the play from Matthew Stafford. So, behind the glass, Jack Kerwin. Jack, your thoughts on the Detroit Lions.
Well, you know what they need to do this week after beating the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday to really show that they're serious about winning this year? They got to trade for Jalen Ramsey. They got to make it happen.
Wouldn't that be a great move?
I am all in on trading for Jalen Ramsey, and Dave Burkett laid it out in the Free Press yesterday that,
yeah,
you know, it's going to cost a lot. It'll probably be 2 first-round draft picks. But when you look back at the Detroit Lions, you know, Bob Quinn has had 4 drafts so far, right? The first three are really probably the only ones we can evaluate picks that aren't first-round picks because, you know, it takes time for those guys to develop. Mm-hmm. Each of the 3 third-round picks that Bob Quinn has drafted so far are all starters on this team. There are plenty of late-round and mid-round picks that Bob Quinn has used on guys that are still around. So, you know, even if they lose a couple first-round picks, that would hurt, obviously, in the long term.
Right.
But if they're able to get a star like Jalen Ramsey, and he's got to agree to an extension before they would ever trade for him because otherwise he's just a rental. But if they're able to trade for Jalen Ramsey and it costs a couple first-round picks, they absolutely need to do it because I agree with you that I'm a little skeptical in the way that the Lions have won, right, so far. 3 games, I mean,
it's been ugly. It has not been pretty.
Absolutely. But, yeah. I mean, to a degree, that's what the NFL is, right? But if they trade for Jalen Ramsey, I think they're absolutely a live team in the NFC.
He's a big-time player. He's one of those guys, you know, Jalen Ramsey, there's a few guys, well, I think more than a few in today's NFL, actually, but there's some guys in today's league that if you get that player on your heck, I hate to admit it, but Antonio Brown is one of those guys. You know, if you can get a guy like that who is just uber talented, they can make a huge difference in wins and losses. That is why the Patriots actually made that move to try and get Antonio Brown. But my point is, there are some players in this league that if you get them on your roster, they can prove to be absolute game changers. And Jalen Ramsey is one of those guys. So, and I thought Burkett, he did a really good job of laying that out. And you know, we'll see what happens. And there, you know, Ramsey has definitely made it known that he does not want to be a player for the Jacksonville Jaguars anymore. And the Jaguars, as you heard Jack state, they reportedly want 2 first-round picks to deal their star corner. So we'll see how that one plays out. I believe the Jaguars, they are 1-2 in the AFC South. The AFC South is just so mediocre and bad, but we'll see what happens. He's a big-time player, though. Big-time player. For you, Connor, what are your biggest concerns, man? When you look at this Lions team right now, what are your biggest concerns moving forward with this squad? And we all know, let's be real here, they're not beating the Kansas.
They're not beating the Chiefs.
If they beat the Kansas City
Chiefs, they're not beating the Chiefs.
I will go and buy me a Matthew Stafford Detroit Lions jersey. I'll wear it right here on the air. That's not going to happen, but I'll do that. That's the promise I'll make to our listeners out there, okay? I will rock a Matthew Stafford jersey at some point next week for an entire hour. That's not going to happen, though. I don't even have the money to buy it, but I have to break the bank to do it. But, yeah, that's not happening. No. Patrick Mahomes is, you know, and I heard an interesting debate this morning, you know, in the barbershop. People were debating whether or not Patrick Mahomes is changing the NFL. Like, you know how Steph Curry came in the league and really changed the game as far as, you know, three-point shooting goes and high-percentage shots and we were debating whether or not Patrick Mahomes entering the league is redefining.
How is he going to change the game? Unless you can find me like 5 other guys who can throw off their back foot for 75 yards.
That's the same, you know, thing that we said about Steph Curry. Not many guys can shoot the 3-pointer from the logo. You
Except
know what
from
mean?
His team but and then Damian Lillard.
But what we did see, though, and happened in the NBA was more teams started shooting threes, high volume threes, because it created a system out in Golden State that was different and led to a lot of wins. When you look at KC, it's just high power. Let's launch the ball. It feels like the 50-yard line is the red zone watching the Chiefs, doesn't it? I mean, they're launching the ball deep downfield,
and they got like some of the fastest receivers in the game. So they don't even have to. They don't even have to be that talented. You just need to be able. Hey, can you run under a ball for 25 yards?
Right, exactly. And you know, Mahomes has the arm to just chuck it down there. He is so accurate. He's just a freak of nature. And so we're debating whether or not the game is really changing in regards to Patrick Mahomes and whatnot. But, yeah, like you said, the dude's an alien. They're not beating the Kansas City Chiefs.
My biggest concerns for the Lions are their late-game play calling. I have no idea what Patricia seems to be thinking there. Yeah. And, you know, Jack, you can see here, is agreeing with me.
Right.
Cardinals, okay, late in the game, what do? They stop blitzing, which was working well. Right. Then they go ultra conservative. They play not to lose instead of playing to win. Then you go to the Chargers game, and they were just kind of okay with going to the 40-yard line and letting Phillip Rivers go. And if that Chargers kicker doesn't, you know, miss all those kicks, who knows? The Eagles game, you know, they get the ball back late. What do? They're predictable. They run the ball 2 times and they run a pass that goes incomplete. They then have to settle for a field goal, which gets blocked. They got to stop being so predictable. I mean, they definitely are playing to lose. Of course, you have to.
Oh, you got
Hello?
It?
You I've always got it. You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
You play conservatively, especially the next 3 games for them. You got the Chiefs. Then you got the Packers, whose defense is unreal
Looks
so
legit.
Far.
Mm-hmm.
Vikings, never know what team's going to show up then. Daniel Jones and the Giants, which now is no longer of a joke game. Then you can take a breather with the Raiders before going on to play the Bears and the Cowboys. You can't be making foolish mistakes. You can't be playing scared against those teams.
I agree with you. That's a good point. All right, what we're going to do, we're hit our final break. Then the mic will be Connor's to bid you all adieu officially, as he is becoming a pro in this business and taking a job as a sports reporter out in the wild. So we'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports.
All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We have about 3 minutes left here in the hour, and I just want to take some time to pass the mic to the man behind the glass on what is his final official day, being the engineer, one of the three engineers here at WKAR's Current Sports, Connor Mathis, who is taking a job out in Owosso as a sports reporter. So, Connor, you take it away, man. You can say whatever is on your mind.
I'm just going to be quick and say thank you to everyone who listened to me when me and Jack were co-hosting. And thank you, Al, for bringing me in here and, you know, giving me the opportunity to cover MSU football and all these other great things. Beyond that, you better call me back. You better call me up here when it's draft time, because I'll have some more hot takes. And if Jalen Hurts wins the Heisman, I won't call in. I will be in studio to personally brag to Jack.
Right.
Make sure Jack is in on that day.
Gotcha. We'll do if that does come to fruition. But man, it's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure. You know, I have been so blessed to work with many talented students and other students who have not been very motivated, not talented, but not motivated. I always say, hard work, beats talent, you know, when talent doesn't work. And I have been so blessed to have many, many great students who are just hard workers. And Connor, you are no exception to that, my man. And I know you're going to do great things out in Owosso. Again, you're still here in the area, so we're still going to have you back on the show, especially to talk some high school football, because, you know, if one of those local teams maybe end up going pretty far, you know, come Thanksgiving time, we got to have you back on to talk some high school football, man. But you're going to do a great job. We wish you well. I don't know if you looked at the Facebook page, but many people wishing you a congratulations, including former radio station manager Peter Worf, who's also watching right now. But thanks for all the hard work. And thank you, beautiful people, for listening to this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We'll see you on the hump day edition of the show. As always, take care and be easy, people.